WCCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Trump exacting more of the retribution he promised when he was running for office, this time targeting his predecessor.
Trump posting on social media that he is revoking the security clearance of former President Joe Biden, saying that he will no longer receive intelligence briefings, cutting off any access to classified information. In that statement, he says that the former president cannot be trusted.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Biden did the same thing to Trump 4 years ago. A federal judge is pausing the administration's bid to dismantle the Agency for International Development. Two associations representing federal workers say Trump doesn't have the authority to do this so quickly. A federal jury in Los Angeles convicted county sheriff's deputy Trevor James Kirk in the incident in 2023 in which he was recorded violently tackling and pepper spraying a woman who was recording the arrest of a man nearby. This is ABC News. The president talked about Gaza after Friday's sit-down with Japan's prime minister.
Trump was asked for an update on the timeline for his proposal for the U.S. taking over Gaza. He told reporters in the Oval Office Friday there were no further discussions on a timetable.
Basically, the United States would view it as a real estate transaction where we'll be an investor in that part of the world. And no rush to do anything. We wouldn't need anybody there.
The president again said Gaza would be given to the U.S. by Israel, but suggested the Israelis would be responsible for security there because there would be no U.S. forces on the ground. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Tennessee's Zoo Knoxville reports the death of Dolly at age 56, the oldest white rhinoceros in the U.S. The zoo says Dolly was euthanized after its mobility declined significantly in recent days, despite receiving old age medical care. For some time. The median lifespan for rhinos like Dolly, 36 years. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Mark your calendars. The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is coming up on February 7th and 8th at the Richland Center Community Center. Join us Friday from 3 to 8 and Saturday 8 to 3 for this highly anticipated event featuring up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Enjoy concessions provided by the local Boy Scout troop while you browse. Admission is just $5. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association can't wait to see you February 7th and 8th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show. Don't miss it!
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Bucks take on the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks road trip continues. After beating the Hornets in Charlotte, they're now in Atlanta to face the Hawks. In college basketball, the 21st-ranked Wisconsin Badgers take on a rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes in Iowa City. That one starts at noon tomorrow. NFL, Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love was in New Orleans at the Super Bowl and was asked to describe how he thought the Packers' season went overall.
You know, I think the main theme of the season for us was just inconsistent. You know, I felt like it was some really good, and it was some just not consistent enough to be able to be one of those top offenses in the league. But, you know, we were able to generate a lot of explosive plays, and I think when we can keep building and keep honing in on all the details and just being that consistent offense like you see some of these offenses do, where they just go out and put up all these points every week and do the same stuff, I think that's where we need to get to.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Conrad Krieger. Adam Scott is on a roll. The Severance star is returning to the film genre that gave him a start. Scott has signed on to the project to play a horror novelist who visits an Irish inn to disperse his parents' ashes, only to find out it's haunted. Hockham will be directed by Irish director Damien McCarthy, who directed last year's critically acclaimed Oddity. Scott got his start in the genre with a 1996 Hellraiser Bloodline. This film is still in pre-production. Adrian Brody says the makeup artist of The Brutalist tried to remove his prosthetic nose. The only problem is, it was not prosthetic. Apparently, Brody's real nose looked fake to the makeup artist. The Oscar-nominated actor told Jimmy Fallon he asked her if she was trying to remove that, And she said yes. And he said, it doesn't come off. Brody says he and the makeup artist had a laugh after she said, this is going in my diary. And Brody said that this is going in his talk show repertoire. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky for tonight with lows in the low 20s. And staying cloudy for tomorrow, some flurries and snow showers around. Highs near 30, accumulations of around an inch. Then sun shines out for Sunday, high temperatures into the mid-20s. It's 25 right now.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake. And I can't even say that word anymore.
Oh,
we are vigilant. No, that's a village and an ant. So we are resistance experts here at Native Roots Radio. I just want to say that. And I just got to say, you sent me an article, Haley, and I just want to touch just briefly on this. Native Roots Radio was started because of all the misinformation from Standing Rock, and something just came across the interweb. And it's interesting. Court documents reveal the FBI used informants to monitor indigenous activists during the Dakota Access Pipeline protests. And we kind of knew that. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up again, and it's real information. And that I could see that happening. And it's FBI's up to their same old tricks all the way back from, 500 years. But I know just recently, you know, during the American Indian Movement, the big days of the American Indian Movement, there was informants all over in there. And,
yeah,
you know, it's something not new, but it's something to bring up, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. That came across my Instagram feed yesterday from 7_Sisters_Collective. And this apparently was a post by Red Horn Woman quoting, "The feds watch, they infiltrate, and they try to divide us even online. This will only increase under Trump. At least 10 FBI informants were embedded at Standing Rock alongside undercover federal agents and BIA officers using drones, social media monitoring, and radio eavesdropping against land defenders." Yeah, wow. Definitely. They're just so scared of us.
Yeah, well, during Standing Rock, they should have been, because that was an amazing experience. And
yeah,
you know, we went out there 4 times. Mm-hmm. And you know, each time we were there thanks taking, and there was probably 20,000 people there, and they were just rolling in. And that was like the second largest city in North Dakota at that time. And people from all over the world and all over the United States especially was meeting people from all over, and people really resisting. And first time out there, the pipeline was a long ways away, and people were getting arrested, and it was just crazy. They had the dogs, you know, come on, people. But we just have to bring that history up, too, because that's not being taught out there in a good way or corrective way, too. Hey, you have something up here that I saw cross my feed, and that was Auntie Deb is back, and Deb Holland's preparing to run for New Mexico governor. Wow, that would be amazing.
I know, right? Deb's not done yet, says indigenous.tv, one of my favorite Instagram handles. Go give them a follow. But yeah, they said big news, Deb Haaland, who made history as the first Native American U.S. cabinet secretary while leading the Department of the Interior, is reportedly preparing for her next big move, which is running for governor of New Mexico. If elected in 2026, Haaland would be the first Native American woman to serve as governor of any state, further solidifying her legacy as a trailblazer for indigenous leadership in U.S. politics.
Hey, speaking of governor, I think we have an update from Governor Evers from the great state of Wisconsin and talking about things that really need to be talked about. And Haley, why don't we take a listen?
For sure.
They are Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Kathy and I raised three kids, so we know that for parents, nothing is more important than our kids' safety, no matter where they are. So keeping our kids, families, schools, and communities safe, including reducing crime and gun violence, should be a top priority for us. While violent crime is going down statewide, the rate of gun deaths is trending in the opposite direction. That's why I created our new Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention to take a statewide approach to reducing crime, preventing violence, and keeping kids and communities safe. And the truth is this, the vast majority of Wisconsinites, including gun owners, agree. We can take easy, simple steps to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Let's close the loophole so that everyone goes through a violent history check when they purchase a firearm. Let's pass a red flag law to give law enforcement and loved ones the tools they need to get guns out of the home when someone is a dangerous risk to themselves or others. Let's keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers and help make sure that guns in homes are locked away or have a trigger lock engaged and that firearms at retailers are secured when their businesses are unattended. Let's make sure that if a firearm is lost or stolen, law enforcement is immediately notified. And a lot of our work is not just to prevent people from hurting others, but to make sure people are safe from hurting themselves. So let's reinstate the 48-hour waiting period for firearm purchases and create a self-assigned firearm exclusion program to allow Wisconsinites to temporarily and voluntarily register to prevent themselves from purchasing a firearm. We should be able to get this common sense stuff done with bipartisan support, folks. Let's do better for Wisconsin than doing nothing. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
That's a great update, as always, from Governor Evers, the great governor of the state of Wisconsin, which we know we have thousands and thousands of listeners out there on civic media listening to us daily. So we give a shout out to the state of Wisconsin, but also Governor Evers. So big peeny geegee. Hey, switching gears a little bit. Academy Awards are coming up, Haley, and there's some really interesting and good news for Native films. Sugar Cane is a documentary that investigates the abuse and missing children in Indian residential schools, which sparks reckoning on the nearby Sugarcane Reserve. That's some exciting news.
Yeah, definitely is. Big news for Natives in film. Sugarcane's director, Jillian Brave Noisecat, is officially the first Academy Award-nominated North American Indigenous filmmaker in the Oscars' 97-year history. I can believe that there hasn't been Indigenous representation in the whole 97 years of the Academy, but you know, this is a huge win, and there's been some contenders up there. I know Lily Gladstone was, that might have been a different award thing, actually. But you can catch Sugar Cane. I know it's streaming on Hulu right now. And, yeah, that one, the 97th Academy Awards will air on Sunday, March 2nd, and that'll be at 7. So definitely watch Sugar Cane on Hulu and check out, hopefully they get that win on March 2nd.
Yeah. Dang, I got to check it out. We have Hulu. What do you know?
It's coming up quick, huh? It's like Today's the last day of January, day 54 or something.
Oh, my God. Day 54 of the year?
It feels like it. Of January, at least.
The 50th of January. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, well, I love the Academy Awards, so that'll be cool to see. We also got that tattoo festival happening on the March 14th and the 16th, and that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I know it's at that Native-owned Intercontinental Hotel in downtown St. Paul.
Oh, I wish. Is that Native-owned? I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
It is. Wow, that's amazing. But yeah, so definitely save the date for this. March 14th, 15th, and 16th, Friday through the Sunday, Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis is going to be out there with their tattoo artists and everything. There's going to be a bunch of live music, including Stella Standing Bear, Superman, Joe Rainey, Thomas X, Jada Brown, Sean Hu, and DJ AO. You can get tattooed there. So check out the Akitho Festival, A-K-I-T-H-O Festival, for more bookings and other information.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be awesome. And we got 30 seconds to go, and we got State Senator Mary Kunish up next. And we are really happy to talk to her straight on and dead on and talk about many things that are happening in the state of Minnesota and Turtle Island. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Trump exacting more of the retribution he promised when he was running for office, this time targeting his predecessor.
Trump posting on social media that he is revoking the security clearance of former President Joe Biden, saying that he will no longer receive intelligence briefings, cutting off any access to classified information. In that statement, he says that the former president cannot be trusted.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Biden did the same thing to Trump 4 years ago. A federal judge is pausing the administration's bid to dismantle the Agency for International Development. Two associations representing federal workers say Trump doesn't have the authority to do this so quickly. A federal jury in Los Angeles convicted County Sheriff's Deputy Trevor James Kirk in the incident in 2023 in which he was recorded violently tackling and pepper spraying a woman who was recording the arrest of a man nearby. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks take on the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks road trip continues. After beating the Hornets in Charlotte, they're now in Atlanta to face the Hawks. In college basketball, the 21st-ranked Wisconsin Badgers take on a rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes in Iowa City. That one starts at noon tomorrow. NFL, Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love was in New Orleans at the Super Bowl and was asked to describe how he thought the Packers season went overall.
You know, I think the main theme of the season for us was just inconsistent. You know, I felt like it was some really good, and it was some just not consistent enough to be able to be one of those top offenses in the league. But, you know, we were able to generate a lot of explosive plays, and I think when we can keep building and keep honing in on all the details and just being that consistent offense like you see some of these offenses do, where they just go out and put up all these points every week and do the same stuff, I think that's where we need to get to.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Conrad Krieger. Top Gun fans are hoping for a third film, but actor Miles Teller told Stephen Colbert he has not heard any updates. The Top Gun 2 actor who plays Rooster in the film did tell the talk show host that he has made one demand of the film stars Tom Cruise. If there is a third film, Teller wants some warning so he has time to get in shape. Ideally, 1 month per ab, so a total of 6 months. Rumors that the third film is in development have not been confirmed. Demi Moore is nominated for a Best Actress for her role in The Substance, an impressive achievement for someone who was labeled a popcorn actress years ago by producer. Moore talked about her Golden Globe acceptance speech on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, where she mentioned the producer's prediction. Kimmel asked her if she thought the producer, who has since passed away, heard her speech. Moore said, "He's probably rolling over in his grave. Revenge is a dish best served when the other person is still alive, but I'm sure it still feels good." For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky for tonight with lows in the low 20s. And staying cloudy for tomorrow, some flurries and snow showers around. Highs near 30, accumulations of around an inch. Then sun shines out for Sunday, high temperatures into the mid-20s. Right now it's 27.
Imagine home. the smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's been a while since we've talked face-to-face. It's great to see you.
I know.
Great to see you, and congratulations. What an amazing victory we have here in Minnesota at our local state senate. Welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Thank you very much. Matakiape, everybody. Yes, it is a time for us to have a short celebration. Minnesota Senate is back in the majority. It's been a kind of a very tumultuous election year, not only what's going on at the national level, but what also has been happening, you know, within our state government with the House now at 67-67, once they fill in an empty seat. But this week, we were very fortunate to have just a fabulous fellow from Northeast Minneapolis step up and run to fill the seat that was vacated through the passing of just a lovely, lovely individual, Carrie Dietzick. And so now we have Doran Clark, who is a couple, you know, is deeply immersed in the Northeast community, the Northeast Minneapolis. We just call it Northeast. So when we say Northeast, everyone knows what we're talking about. He lives there. They work in that community. They've got children in those schools. And from the time that I spent with him, he's just another delightful human being with a heart of gold and looking out for how he can best serve Minnesotans in the Senate. And so that puts us back into the majority. He will be sworn into office on Monday. And up until, you know, when we started session, we had agreement with the GOP members that we would share the power and the leadership. Mm-hmm. Because we were tied without that one person majority. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been going really well. I'm the chair of education finance. And so I've been sharing the gavel with Senator Rarick, who's from just north of the Twin Cities. And it's actually gone pretty well. So, you know, flipping back and forth every day, who gets the gavel, and they get to kind of decide the agenda. We talk about the agenda. You know, we both made promises we weren't going to do anything funny or bring anything surprising to each other. So with this new majority, we will probably be ending that power sharing agreement. Minnesota elected a majority of DFL to the Senate, and with Doran in place, we can now honor that.
You know, two things. That's great. And I think the media out there is not reporting how well that's going in the Senate. They're just really focused on the House and what's happening there. I've had many football coaches over the years when I was in high school for civics explain what it means that we have a governor and a Senate in one, but then we have a tie in the representatives. Does things move slower? Can you get bills going without the representation of the House of Reps? Can you explain that to our audience?
Oh, sure. So in Minnesota, we have the Democrat governor, Governor Walz, and now we have the Democrat majority in the Senate. But in the House, we are even. So there's equal numbers of DFLers and equal numbers of, they aren't tied. They aren't tied because there is one vacancy because mm-hmm. of a residency challenge by the GOP that they want. So there is a special election and they're waiting for it. The House members are... the House DFL are asking to do a power sharing at this time, and GOP is not willing to do that. So our DFLers have not come to the Capitol to do the work. They're doing the work everywhere and all around Minnesota, but they are not at the Capitol. They did not join to create a quorum, because if they were there and a quorum was created at that moment before the seat was filled, GOP would basically take over for the next 2 years without fair representation. So it makes our job in the Senate much more difficult, because we're still doing the work. We're bringing in bills, we're dropping bills, we're hearing bills, we're talking about how we're going to balance the budget in the state of Minnesota, but we don't have the opportunity to send those bills over to the Minnesota House. So if I have a bill for something, there has to be an author in both bodies, in the mm-hmm. House, Senate, and there has to be it has to go through all the hearings in the House, it has to go through all the hearings in the Senate, and go through the due process. Well, that's not happening yet in the House, mm-hmm. and so they're a bit behind, and it could be that special election, well, we know that special election won't be till March in the House.
Yeah.
So it might be that those House members aren't back on site until March.
Wow.
And then we're just going to have to do double duty and perhaps even have a special session to get that balanced budget.
Yeah. So the press has really not been, I don't know if they really explained this. And so I'm glad you are explaining this to our listeners, because it seems like just a one-sided, when I'm watching local news, it's a one-sided yeah. conversation. Yeah. And so it's great that you're bringing that up. And, you know, people have to know that the Republicans are going to try and hijack this for the next 2 years that you mentioned. So it's important that we get the word out there, especially for our Democratic friends in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, there was a really good article in the Star Tribune by Representative Emma Greenman, and she really laid it out clearly. And really made it clear that the GOP had no constitution or legal authority to begin, you know, to take over the legislature and start doing all the fake committees that they had. She really kind of pins it back to what is happening out in the federal government, how, you know, they are doing things with abandon and, you know, eroding all of the guardrails that were put into place, you know, all those business, you know, she said business leaders, politicians, lobbyists, even foreign leaders who once warned of Trump's threat to democracy are now sitting beside him, best pals, you know, pledging to help carry out his agenda. Because honestly, they're afraid of him. And that's not the way this government is supposed to do. What is happening out there is being reflected here in Minnesota, and that's really dangerous way to push those legal limits and violate our norms, distort Minnesota's democratic process. And so the House members are doing an incredible job of you know, not playing that game. They're just not going to do it.
That's good. And I've seen in social media our friend, what's her name? She helped out with the marijuana over the last years. She's been on our show a bunch of times.
Representative Jess Hansen?
Yes. Thank you, Haley. She's reading my mind, or my mind's a blank. I can't remember which.
Hey, we love Jess.
Around us these days, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and our nation's on red alert, too. I've been to many, many meetings about what's happening, what's the future. When the grants were closed down, a lot of our tribal nations here across Turtle Island really count on those funds, especially the medical part of it and the education part of it.
Well, let's remember, all of that is part of the original treaties.
Right.
You know, the medical care, the housing support, the educational supports, all of those things were part of the original treaties. And you can bet that that is going to be another thing that's going to be challenged by the Trump administration. I mean, they, within the first day or two, they're challenging the citizenship of the indigenous people of this continent, of this country. You know, they're going to go back and try to undo everything from the very beginning.
Well, a lot of it's shock and awe, and we see this. And, you know, I'm glad you're where you are, and I'm glad that you're here on Native Roots Radio speaking your truth, because we have to resist, and we are the resist experts, and we can't let this go by. And I know they're working on shock and awe and working on our, you know, being tired, but we're not, and we're still here. We are the seventh generation, and we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Do you know that Donald Trump's draconian policies are hurting children right here in Wisconsin? Dane County's Head Start program experiences outages. We discuss at 3 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay...
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's been a while since we've talked face-to-face. It's great to see you. Great to see you, and congratulations. What an amazing victory we have here in Minnesota at our local state Senate. Welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Thank you very much. Matakiape, everybody. Yes, it is a time for us to have a short celebration. Minnesota Senate is back in the majority. It's been a kind of a...
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back to the Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish. Great to see you. Just great to have you on and talk about real issues and real things that are going on. We know we talked a little bit about the House victory, and now we have to stay vigilant. And what does that look like as a state senator or people in the state of Minnesota? What can we do?
Well, it's everybody's asking that, like, what can we do? How do we either fight back or protect people that we know are going to be targeted? What I tell them is just to be aware of what's going on around you and what's coming down. All those executive decisions or those things that are coming out of that administration, turning off, the dollars that are coming, that mm-hmm. should be coming to communities. You know, where I'm especially concerned in the education, in all areas, but, you know, education. We're just wondering, how do we set a budget when we don't know what Trump is going to do as far as discontinuing funds, putting conditions on funds, like this whole DEI thing. And don't get me going on the accident that is DEI is responsible right. for. But, you know, the last time he was in this position, he really destroyed so many families, immigrant families. Mm-hmm. And there would be kids that went home from school and their parents weren't there. They had been picked up from ICE. And, you know, we hear different stories in different ways about this happening. And so, you know, it's important to recognize that our neighbors are extremely vulnerable, just like we saw so many of our, you know, tribal members, especially down south, were being detained by ICE because they have brown skin. And so now everybody has to carry their tribal ID right. on top of their, you know, American, you know, it's almost like you have to carry your birth certificate, your tribal mm-hmm. ID, your social security number. I mean, it's like under siege. They're under siege. And so what we can do is pretty much just take care of each other and look out for each other. At the Capitol, we're trying to anticipate some of the things that might happen. There are hospitals and clinics that have had been doing gender affirming care across the country that have quietly stopped doing that. Hmm. Because they're afraid of what will happen. Schools that have had to train their staff and families about visits from ICE at school, or what should happen if a parent were taken and those kids are left in a very vulnerable situation. It feels so incredibly scary because, mm-hmm. you know, you can say, well, it's all smoke and mirrors, and, you know, he's doing this over here, and he said he's going to do that, but nah, he's not going to do that. Yeah, he's going to do that. And that's what we have to plan for, is the worst case scenario. So I have people coming to me all the time, like wanting grants and wanting legislation that's going to cost dollars. And I have to tell them, I don't think I can do anything because we don't know what's going to happen. I can't make sure that that money is going to be there for the next 2 years, let alone the next 4 years. And so it just feels like we all have to, you know, kind of bring all the resources in tight and sort of hunker down and protect what we have, because we don't know what's going to, how long it's going to last. And we don't know if it'll be there in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Right. And, you know, the last term, he, the orange one, only really had the tax bill that he passed. Everything else was executive order, and, you know, gave the billionaires a tax break. And so hopefully with our court system and our legal system, we can block a lot of this bad stuff, because basically, State Senator, he's following the Project 2025 playbook to a T.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and he claimed, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't know right. what that is. Well, you know, his right-hand guys are the ones who wrote it. But yeah, I mean, I asked our researcher, nonpartisan researcher, to ferret out all the education issues in there. And so that I can, you know, have that front and center, because that's the playbook for education. And, you know, anything that's DEI, anything that has to do with transgender, any of those things. And you see already in Minnesota, schools that are taking down posters in their schools that, you know,
Black Lives Matter.
That send a really good message about their schools, you know. And it starts there. And I know schools are nervous. Our school boards are made up of a wide variety of people, and it will start to show which are the ones that are, you know, that have that agenda to take things apart.
And it's only a few people, what I've noticed. I've seen some news reports. There's not like a crying out, get these posters out of here. There's just a few people that think they're empowered now, because the orange one's in. And do you remember, you were in the education system when you became a representative, and then I believe into the Senate too.
Yeah.
I remember when he was first voted in, I was teaching an ELL class, English learners class, second language class, and half my class disappeared the day he was elected. Yeah. And never came back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when people say, how do we prepare for this? It's basically looking out for each other and being kind to each other, and recognizing there's going to be some very, very vulnerable community members and really hard decisions that need to be made. And I'm just hoping that, you know, the right leaders are in the right place at the right time to make the right decisions.
Well, you know, and our Native Way, we've been talking a lot about that with my other job. And we're talking about taking care of you and your family first before that, and how important that is, whether it's mental health, just checking in. There's a lot of things that we can do in those regards.
Mm-hmm.
The dog agreed. Oh,
she's growling really deep. Yes. So that makes our job really, really difficult. But I think all of us are very tuned into what's happening, keeping each other alert, having a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings about what we are hearing, what we know, doing our best not to pass any misinformation. to get people alarmed and freaked out so that, you know, it adds to the trauma of the moment. But yeah, there's just a lot of, I don't know what to do.
Well, and you deal with the locally issue too. There's a lot of people that you work with in the House and the Senate in that building is that are clueless of what's going on. And that was the big thing, a great thing that the governor said is when they closed down the portal for all those grant funds and money, nobody in Washington in the Trump administration knows what's going on.
Right.
That's how ridiculous it was. And it was great that he called that out.
Yeah. Well, and even though the court said what you just did is illegal, and they're like, oops, we retract it. They retract the memo. Right. They did not reopen the access to those grants and dollars. And so, again, doing just what they please. You know, and they put people into positions that aren't going to challenge him when that's exactly what's supposed to happen. He took out all the OIG's Office of the Inspector Generals in all these different areas, and they have the oversight to make sure that those dollars are used the way they were intended, no waste, fraud, or anything like that. And he's removed them all so that there's nobody watching the purses. And that is super duper scary. I mean, basically he's access to billions upon billions upon billions of dollars to put into what is his priority. Mm-hmm. You know, and so.
Yeah. And not to mention that, we only got a minute or so left, but we talked back about our education or being educators for years, and he wants to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Privatize schools now?
Yes, very much so. I'm sure that is very high on the agenda to, you know, have vouchers and the dollars follow the kids no matter where they are or where they go to school, no matter the income of the family and any of that stuff, draining our public schools. So right. Just being on alert is the best thing that we can be.
Absolutely. And I know the private schools take whoever they want. They don't have to take everyone. And that's going to be an issue when funding is destroyed through public schools. And, you know, we'll leave crumbs for the most needy. And so we have to be diligent and keep talking about the state senator. And I really, really appreciate you coming on tonight and sure. today and talking real sense and real issues. I really appreciate you. And this is our ninth season, and I just want to give you a personal shout out. You've been a huge, huge, huge part of Native Roots Radio.
Great. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to educate and inform and learn from everybody. So appreciate you giving me this opportunity as well.
We'll see you soon. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
My wolf sounded hurt.
Oh. Hopefully not. Hopefully
get something in my foot. Right. Oh! Hey, I want to introduce co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and we're on our ninth season, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. It started as a little grasshopper, right, when you were little?
I don't remember the first time I started with that. I know I've always loved animals. I've always had a really deep connection with
animals.
And
you didn't want to eat meat when you were little,
That's
too.
That's right. Yeah, from a very young age. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were stubborn, and people didn't know that. That was a thing back
when
in
I was
the day.
Older. My mom apologized to me for torturing me. Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. I'm really looking forward to getting started here in 2025 to see what we can get done.
But,
the Humane Society of the United States does things locally, does things nationally, and also worldwide. So
it was a dramatic pause.
It is. I had a little hiccup. Worldwide.
It wasn't spit.
No.
That's good.
Totally not. So in 2024, the Humane Society of the United States took many actions to help animals.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So they provided services to over 16,200 pets in core communities and sent 440 truckloads of pet food and supplies to 46 states and Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yeah, they do a lot of good work.
Wow.
So like the wildfires in LA, unless if an area or a state is having a really big problem, they call on the Humane Society of the United States. The Humane Society doesn't just go in there and, you know, take over and start helping animals. They have to be asked to come and work with our, you know, people and help us. I think California has a really good
branch.
I think that they have lots of people there that are doing the work. But if they do need the Humane Society of the United States, they will call on them. You know, and then they go in with their vans and their volunteers and their veterinarians and,
not to be confused with the tennis shoe and the skateboard.
What is that?
The Vans.
Oh, right. Vans.
Oh, exactly. The
shoe. Yeah. So what else do they do? Promoting humane conflict resolution. So more than 130 animal care and control organizations signed with HSUS Wild Neighbors Pledge. The HSUS also tested new translocation techniques for prairie dogs and created a recovery program for vultures in South Africa.
Do prairie dogs bark?
I don't know what they do, but in the area where the prairie dogs were, they had this like a little pandemic, like a prairie dog pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they went in and saved as many prairie dog.
News from the center, WRCE. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global Matt Randolph is back to talk about the Trump administration policies and how that's affecting us, heating our houses and filling up the gas. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A woman with a history of drugging men in custody in New Orleans and the death of a reporter covering this weekend's Super Bowl.
Officials accusing Danette Colbert of using the credit card of Adnan Manzano after he was found dead in his hotel room. The 27-year-old had traveled to New Orleans to cover the Super Bowl for a Kansas City Telemundo affiliate. Telemundo calling his death tragic and adding Manzano was a true professional and a rising star who exemplified excellence in his work.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. The search for a commuter airplane with 10 people aboard that vanished came to a grim end 34 miles southeast of Nome, Alaska, when searchers found the wreck of the airplane on top of sea ice, three bodies spotted inside. During his first term, President Trump didn't attend the annual Kennedy Center honors, called it a political distraction. Now, in his second term, he fired the Kennedy Center board chair, and several board members Friday. He's making himself chair. This is ABC News.
local.